Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Mahindra EPC Irrigation Limited Annual Audited Financial Results of FY22 Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashok Sharma, Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. A very good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to all of you for the seventh investor call for Mahindra EPC Irrigation Limited. On behalf of Mahindra EPC, I would like to sincerely thank each one of you for joining this call. So today I'll be sharing with you on the key developments in the micro-irrigation industry, the company's performance, and a broad industry outlook for FY23. Today I thought, let me first talk a little bit about Israel. Many of you know about the technology developed in Israel and micro-irrigation technology which has come from that country. As you are aware, that Israel has a very small land region, does not have natural resources, very less rainfall, and Israel has always overcome these challenges through innovation. And I'll talk about the innovation in the area of water management. In the early years of Israel's existence, the population grew rapidly, and as the tiny country struggled with a significant water shortage, Israel developed water initiatives all over the country. The Israel Water Authority launched a series of programs for children that taught them how to save water by simple means, building a whole new generation of water-conscious citizens. A country with over 60% desert and less than 20% naturally arable land mass. Today, Israel has become a world leader in water management and water cycling. Over 90% of Israel water is recycled, and nearly 80% of drinking water consumed is either desalinated or recycled. So 90% is recycled and 80% drinking water is desalinated or recycled. And Israel has reduced the amount of water needed for irrigation by more than 30%. Using micro-irrigation largely, and also has increased its groundwater level through efficient management and maintenance of traditional water storage structures. By doing this, Israeli farmers have made the desert bloom with the pioneer use of irrigation innovative farm technologies. So today, agriculture is thriving in Israel and has successfully traveled the journey from a water scarce to a water abundant country. Now, Israel is an example for the world on how to move from a water scarce to water abundant country. Cut to India. In India, again, I've been repeating this, but I'll just repeat, there will be some new users, new listeners today. The agri sector consumes the largest amount of water. Almost 80 to 90% of the water is used by agriculture. And micro-irrigation becomes a very important driver for water conservation. And given the high focus on environment, social governance, it's very critical that companies like ours are contributing to the environment and conserving water. You also heard about water futures being listed on exchange in US. Today, India is a water-stressed economy, and very fast we are going to become a water-scarce economy. So what does it mean for the micro-irrigation industry? It means a lot, because as time progresses, all the citizens, farmers, governments have to get more and more water conscious. And today, only 12 to 13% of the arable land is having micro-irrigation facility available. And the overall area available for using micro-irrigation is close to 70 million hectares. Out of that, only 10 million is covered under micro-irrigation. So clearly, there are a lot of positives in terms of the need for micro-irrigation, and especially for a country like India, given its large arable land. The benefits of micro irrigation, I will repeat again, is that it increases your crop production for the farmer by 20 to 30%, and also the labor costs come down due to lack of weeds in the farm, which reduce the labor cost. We all been hearing about various schemes by the government to promote micro irrigation, various announcements in terms of more crop per drop, and clearly that is over the last decade and a half has driven this industry to this level. Now coming to Mahindra EPC, Mahindra EPC Irrigation Company, we have always focused towards supporting the farmers and helping them to be more prosperous, and that is our vision of our company. That how do we contribute to farmers' prosperity and also contribute to the nation's priority of doubling farmers' income and protecting the environment and ensuring that our country remains water positive and not water stressed or water scarce. In terms of the overall strategy of the company, I will just repeat the key points which I have been emphasizing on our previous calls. We have always focused on delivering high quality products and giving services to the farmers which help them to install the products properly and use the products properly. And how do we do it? Our strategy is very simple. We focus on few very critical markets, increase our market share year on year. The last 3 years, we have been increasing our market share by approximately 0.5% every year, and we are close to 6.5% market share now. Over the years, to increase the margins, we have shifted from low margin sprinklers to high margin drip products. One of the big challenges in the industry is managing working capital, and that has been one area we have been very mindful of, and we have tried to plan our growth based on the working capital cycles from the government. As far as last 2-3 years are concerned, consciously we have taken a call to move towards a more non-subsidy business so that there is less dependence on subsidy, and a major thrust has been given on reducing costs. If you look at our numbers, our F22 fixed costs are lower than our F20 fixed costs. So the whole idea is to make the business model more lean so that we are able to manage our businesses profitably. So this was the overall context. Now let me talk about very specific things which you would be very keen to know about how the industry is doing now and what is the future. Unfortunately, the last 2 years for the industry have not been very favorable, and the industry has been degrowing year on year. Just to share some statistics which are based on the published data, in F19, almost 11.5 lakh hectares were covered through micro irrigation. In F19, there was a degrowth of 20%, in F21, there was a degrowth of 20%, and further, a degrowth of 25% in F22. So in F22, we are estimating around 7 lakh hectares were micro-irrigated. So this data is still to be confirmed, but this is our industry estimate and this is what we believe. Now, one has to think why these 2 years have been so tough for the industry compared to the previous years, where industry was growing at an average 6 to 7%, and in some years it was flat, but never have we seen this kind of degrowth in the industry. So looking at these 2 years a bit closely, what one can see is that in the last 2 years, largely due to the impact of COVID, the state governments have given less focus in terms of allocating funds for micro irrigation, and perhaps there was an urgent need to use for public health. That was one big challenge we saw. And the second challenge we saw is the overall impact of climate change. There have been unseasonal rains which have had adverse impact in certain markets, and also there have been cases where because of cyclones, some good markets could not perform. And the third reason, which is again something which is very peculiar for the last 2 years, has been the increase in raw material cost. I've been talking about this on the previous calls, and the trend actually remains unabated. And as a matter of fact, in the year F22, the raw material, which is our main raw material, which is polymers, the raw material cost has gone up by almost 30% over F21, which means an impact of almost 15% on the total material cost. So 15% increase in material cost is what the industry faced. Mahindra EPC could reduce the impact by certain innovative design improvements, by process improvements, efficiency improvements, and our impact was less than 15 by around 2 to 2.5%. But still, we had a adverse impact of material cost increase of almost 12 to 13%. The major reasons for this increase in raw material cost has been the overall supply and demand situation. We have seen that the demand for polymers had increased significantly for applications for medical and other areas. And also there have been many instances of large companies either reducing production or going for large breaks. And other driver for this raw material cost has been the increase in crude oil prices. In the last 1 year, if you look at 1st April to this 1st April, the prices have gone more than 70%. The crude oil prices increased by more than 70%, which has impacted the material cost. Obviously, this has put a lot of pressure on the industry in terms of reduced revenues, reduced margins, and also in certain markets, it has become unviable to sell the products profitably. So this is the challenge which we saw in the last 2 years in the industry. Clearly, based on this, a lot of efforts have been put by the industry association and players to raise the case with the government. And the government has been, given suggestions that how can we have a pricing which is linked with the raw material dynamic pricing rather than having a fixed pricing which is currently available. How the schemes can be run more efficiently by doing DBTs to the farmers and ensuring the schemes are available all around the year. So based on this, there have been some positive developments in terms of the government deciding to, central government allowing the state governments to increase the price. In October that was announced. And as after that, the various state governments have started the process of price revision. And up till now, Telangana government has already increased the price. And other governments, state governments are in the process. And we expect some more price increases coming from different state governments starting this quarter. Also, what is favorable for the industry is that stable markets like Maharashtra, Gujarat, and Tamil Nadu, which have been consistently well performing, have demonstrated their commitment to give adequate funds for this year. And on the ground, we see them working efficiently to ensure the business or the industry does not suffer. There are two other developments which we think are positive for the industry. One is the renewed and strong interest by the Telangana state government. They have declared oil palm cultivation as a big priority for the state government. And towards that, they've allocated a budget of around 500 crores towards micro irrigation. And they've been actively engaging with the industry to increase micro irrigation in Telangana. So that seems to be a good opportunity for the industry. And they've demonstrated that by increasing the price and declaring the new price in ahead of other states. Another development which is worth noting is the development of AP government. You would be aware that for the last 2 years, the Andhra Pradesh government has been quite dormant in the micro irrigation industry. And recently, last few months, we are seeing a renewed interest. And demonstration of that has been sizable payments made by the AP government to the various companies for the amounts which have been due for quite some time. And the balance has been also assured in this month, and the department has been actively engaging with the industry to now restart the micro-irrigation business. So these seem to be on the positive side, increase of prices by state government, focus of stable states continues, dormant and large states like AP and Telangana getting reactivated, and we expect this should drive the industry well for the coming years. Having said this, there are challenges which continue. We are not seeing any relief on the raw material prices. They have been increasing in the last few months, and we expect that they may remain on the similar levels or marginally increase in the next few months. and perhaps as the geopolitical situation uncertainty reduces across the globe, and also we are expecting some new capacities to come in, and also there has been expectation that the port congestions are creating a lot of issues in terms of movement of goods. So as they ease during the next few months, we could perhaps expect some stabilization / softening of raw material prices. But today it's very difficult to take that view. Today we are not seeing in the immediate future any scope of relaxation on raw material prices. So this is the context which I wanted to share with all of you, so that in this context you are able to see the financial performance of quarter four and for the full year. You have already gone through the results, I'm sure. So I will just share the highlights. In quarter four, Mahindra Irrigation, EPC Irrigation Limited, registered revenue of 66.7 crores in FY22 quarter four versus 72.5. And we had a minor loss before taxes of 0.545 crores versus a profit of 5.59 in the last quarter. And as you would have seen from the financials, the material cost has increased to 63.7% versus 55.7% in the last quarter. So there has been a significant increase of almost 8% on the material cost, which actually has impacted our bottom line. On annual level, we have had a degrowth. Our revenue was 212 crores compared to 57 of last year. And we have had a loss of 10 crores versus a profit of 25 crores in F21. And again, if you look at the material cost, it has moved from 51.7 to 62.8%. Significant jump. And we did not see any major price increases from the government last year. And clearly this increase of 11% has impacted our bottom line significantly. Now, I talked about F22, I talked about the challenges, I talked about the efforts put by the industry, some actions by state governments. But when I look at internally, how this year has gone for Mahindra EPC, I think many good things have happened in terms of what we could do internally. And I'll talk about that one by one. That once we realized that last 2 years, the raw material prices are going up and the revenues may be under pressure because of state government funding, a lot of efforts have been put to move towards a business model which is having less dependence on subsidy. Just to give some statistics, in F20, our 1% of the revenue was coming from non-subsidy business, and last year our revenue was 15% from non-subsidy business. In the past, we have been, you know, putting efforts to focus on states which are more stable with better payment cycles. And last year, we could achieve 33% of our revenue from these states like Maharashtra, Gujarat, compared to 22% in F21 and around 19% in F20. So from 22 to 33% revenue, we could move to markets which are more stable and more dependable in terms of payments. Moving to our joint venture, Mahindra Top Greenhouse. There's been some good development there. We've been able to sign MOU for providing net houses for rural livelihood increase for small farmers. We have signed up with the AP government. And there's a good pipeline of orders for the year, which we expect we'll be able to fulfill during the coming time. Another benefit, if I were to look from of last 2 years, is our focus on cost. We could put a lot of additional focus, and we could manage to keep our fixed cost lower than F20 levels despite the inflation. And that has been possible due to various innovative ideas in terms of reducing the waste in the system and improving productivity and able to manage the cost strongly. Even the variable costs have been contained in F22 by a lot of optimization of the mix, despite increase in freight cost and other variable elements. So in a rather challenging environment, with the few opportunities opening up for the company, we believe that our efforts to perform better than the industry will continue. and we would be focusing on our strategy of key market focus, improving our mix, working in profitable states, and increasing our non-subsidy revenue, and so that we are having faster payment cycles for those businesses, and keep our, you know, eyes on cost the way we have been doing. And with this, we are quite hopeful that going forward, our performance will continue to be better than the industry, and our farmers, who have always trusted Mahindra EPC for its quality and for its good service, that promise will continue. So with this, I end my opening speech in a manner of speaking, and I would now be very happy to hear your suggestions, questions, and comments. So over to you for the Q&A session.
Sir, should we open up for questions?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Aejas Lakhani from UNI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Sir, one question is, we've seen...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Lakhani. Sir, we are not able to hear you clearly. Can you use the handset mode while speaking?
Yes, just.
Thank you.
Is this better?
Much better, Lakhani. Go ahead.
Yeah. So thanks for the opening remarks. I want to check with you that could you speak a little bit about the receivable position? And, you know, we have on 40, 50 crores, if I understand, if I remember correctly, 40 crores is the pending receivable from the AP government. So could you speak a little bit on that situation?
Okay. Any other question, Lakhani?
I'll follow it up with another one. That's all.
So go ahead, you tell me, then I can answer together. This is a simple one. Anything else, if you want to ask, you ask.
Sir, also going ahead now, sir, you know, the pain that you've seen with AP government, if you could just highlight that the better governed states, what kind of a receivable do you have from them, and what kind of ability do you have to further increase sales in those regions versus, you know, where you've been currently selling? Because I presume you are predominantly selling just 6 to 7 states, right? Or actually five to six states, if I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So that also.
Sure. Well, very nice. I think, Lakhani, thanks for, you know, putting this question, because this is clearly the one of the most important drivers in this industry.
Right.
So as far as the AP is concerned, yes, the whole industry, as I mentioned in my opening comments, that 2 years there was hardly any payment. But recently, which is the last month, in the month of April, we almost around 40 crores payment is due from AP, and we received around 15 crores last month. And also a similar amount is expected in this month as per the government, but that we'll have to wait and see. But definitely 15 crores we have received. So that's a positive development as far as AP is concerned. And what we are now getting a sense is that this government also has getting a lot of pressure from the various groups to focus on micro irrigation, and they want to again, you know, rejuvenate the activity there. Now coming to your next question. Actually, if you look at the industry, Lakhani, it's largely around these 5 or 6 states. If you look at the big ones, Maharashtra, Gujarat, Tamil Nadu, Andhra, Telangana, Karnataka. I mean, these would contribute almost 75-80% of the entire industry. So everybody is in those markets. And in these markets, Maharashtra, Gujarat are the industry markets which tend to pay on time. And you ask the question, how much time? So it varies from you know, season to season. But just to give a broad idea, an efficient state like Gujarat would end up, you know, paying us between 3 months to 6 months, depending on the which part of the year. And in Maharashtra, the scheme is, you know, better, where we don't have much receivable issues because the payment is directly made to the farmers. And that's the model we are actually recommending to the government with the direct benefit transfer. So So our receivables are, you know, very less in these markets. That's the very good for us in terms of working capital management. Tamil Nadu is the third big market, which has been, you know, driving the industry. And that state is also, it's not very efficient on payments, and they have larger time frame for payment. It could go beyond 6 months. But the, again, the silver lining in this is that, you know, we do get our money. It's sometimes delayed, but governments do honor their commitment. And depending on their current situation, it goes off sometimes by a few months here and there. Now, the last question which you asked about focusing on these markets, I had mentioned in my opening comments that from 22% revenue from the good markets, typically we consider Maharashtra, Gujarat as the good markets from payment and profitability. We moved to 33%. That's one positive sign. And we have some very good plans to further strengthen our position in these markets. I hope that answers your question, Lakhani.
Yeah, sir. Just a couple of follow-ups again on that. One is that what is the size of Tamil Nadu and Gujarat, sorry, Maharashtra, Gujarat and Tamil Nadu in terms of size, if you could just expand that. And also, sir, you mentioned that Telangana has already increased prices. So could you quantify what is the increase in prices that Telangana has done? And if you have any indicator of what the other states are likely to do.
Okay. So I think you asked questions on everybody's behalf, just like all the key questions you have asked. So if you look at Maharashtra and Gujarat, you know, these markets actually hover around 600 to 800 crores each, depending on the year. And Tamil Nadu has been growing, you know, quite at a faster pace recently in the last 3-4 years. And that's also around in the range of 500 to 600 crores now. So these are the three markets which contribute to almost 2,000 crores plus minus 5-10%. And again, it varies year to year depending on various factors. So that's point number one. Coming to Telangana, the price increase they've offered is actually in line with the increase in the input cost of last year. So almost 20% price increase they've given, which of course just takes care of the increase of F22. So that's a positive sign. And the question is, what will be the increase by other states? I have no idea.
Yes. If you have any indicators.
I have no idea. But what I can tell you out of experience, that once a state like Telangana, Andhra, big state gives a price increase, it actually becomes some kind of benchmark for other states all to think. But frankly speaking, it's very difficult to say. So each state has their own way of thinking. But we are happy that at least Telangana has given a, you know, taken a right position to give a reasonable increase to the industry so that the industry plays an interest to promote micro-irrigation in that state.
Got it, sir. And sir, you had mentioned, I think, last call that there are newer states of UP, MP, Rajasthan, Bihar, they were looking to participate. So any green shoots there? And just a follow-up on APEC, we've had a terrible experience. So is it that, you know, that once bitten, twice shy kind of a philosophy where we'll not be very aggressive in that state any longer? Or given that they're opening up their purse strings, we'll continue to sort of, you know, focus again and hope for a better payment cycle from that government?
No, so clearly, I would agree with you on the second point. We need to be cautious in AP because, and as an industry, we have put a lot of conditions. I think due to the AP situation, the industry came together and they put a very strong request to the AP government in terms of the payment cycle, etc. And we have certain norms internally where we manage our business based on the payment cycle. So once we see the payment cycles are favorable in any state, then we increase our revenue or efforts or business in that state. So we want to monitor AP, how it goes. If it is paying well, then definitely we would like to participate. But if it is not meeting into our norms, then we calibrate our efforts there. So that's as far as AP is concerned. Now, the other question we discussed about, and I did mention about these states like UP, Bihar, Jharkhand, Orissa, Rajasthan, actually kind of, you know, showing some promise. And so on a lower base, they have not been so badly impacted compared to other large states. But overall, last year, the sentiment was rather low. And frankly, the call we took during last year, given the huge pressures on revenue, is to go very conservative in terms of costs and not put too much cost upfront. So we have been, I would say, very cautious in these new states and given the overall environment of the industry. But we are looking at them. We have some good strategies. As the industry moves ahead, we will definitely take more aggressive position. But the short answer is, compared to what we thought for last year, we have not been able to, we have decided not to push so aggressively compared to what we had thought. We'll see if the environment is good, we'll then reprioritize on those states. Good, so we can move to the next question. Lakhani, with your permission.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Shah from Vikram Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have two, three questions as well. One is regarding our market share currently. Second one is the growth expected for the industry and for us since last 2 years were degrowth. Third question is the 8-9% revenue which came in H1 from the non-government business, what was that in H2 and for the full year? And what is your plan to increase up to what percentage in the next year, FY23?
Increase what?
Increase the percentage of non-government business.
Okay.
In FY23.
Non-subsidy, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Aditya. Thanks for coming for this call and asking these questions. Now, if you look at EPC, every year consistently, we have been growing by 0.4-0.5% on our market share most of the years. And if I look at the last 3 years, I'm looking at data, we have grown by average 0.4% year on year. Today, our market share is between 6 and 6.5%. Now, I must also caution that these are estimates. There is no reliable data available through independent sources. This is based on our estimates of other players at the All India level and at the state level. So this percentage could be a little bit off in terms of absolute numbers, but the trend has been a gradual increase in market share. And the reason again is very important. See, our company has always focused on the customer. Our product quality is perceived to be the best in the market. Our service, and this business, this product requires both service and handholding to the new farmer who is buying the system for the first time. So starting from the design of his equipment, because each plot has to be customized, the design has to be customized to that plot, proper installation has to be done, and then the farmers have to be properly educated for using it well. Coming to the second question about growth, it's a tough one because the industry is going through quite a difficult patch last 2 years. But when I look at the positives in terms of, the, like I mentioned, the dormant states wanting to get active, price increase, which would make the industry also then, drive the growth. So, but there is a dampener of the raw material cost, which industry has to deal with in the short term. So our estimate is that maybe half an, there'll be a, maybe a single digit kind of a growth, 5-10%. And maybe half to, depending on how the monsoons go and how the policies unfold, if they are favorable, then we can expect a better growth in H2. And on this positive scenario, if I have to say, give a range for the year, I think from 5 to 12% could be the annualized growth rate on depending on various factors. This is our current estimate, but of course, next call we can update based on the new data available. And as far as Mahindra EPC is concerned, we don't give any specific forecast or, our forward revenue projections. But what we can share with all of you is that our attempt and effort is always to grow faster than the industry, and which we have also demonstrated in the last few years. That will be the case. We will always ensure that we put all the efforts, all the strategies, and try to ensure we are growing better than the industry. That's answering your second question. Now, when you say non-government business, actually we mean non-subsidy business.
Yes.
Non-subsidy business is a segment, I think 2 years ago I mentioned on the call that looking at COVID and other factors, we want to now develop this portfolio.
Now, there are three, four sub-segments in that. The first segment on that is a segment which is called thin wall drifts. Now, they are very thin wall drifts, means very low mm, less mm drifts are made by the companies. And they are offered to farmers at a lower cost. And they have a lower life, but they are they do their job as good as the regular drifts. And they are available outside subsidy. So farmers can buy that. That is called thin wall drifts. That is one segment. Other segment which is there is the segment of projects, which is government linked but not subsidy linked. And in these projects, government issues tenders and notices, and companies are encouraged to work with the government, and we can choose to decide which project to work in depending on the payment terms and on the past interaction with those governments. So we select projects which are having good payment terms, and we execute that. That's another segment. Then the third segment is exports. Then the fourth segment is non-subsidy business. So meaning there are farmers who already availed subsidy in the past, and they're not eligible for new subsidy. So that segment also is growing because subsidy, because maturation in states like Andhra, Maharashtra, Gujarat has been there for many years. So many new farmers are coming up, and we have a database of our old farmers. And since we are in this business for many years, so we are reaching out to them, and those who are not eligible for subsidy, we encourage them to go for non-subsidy product. So this is on non-subsidy business. And last year we did around 15% non-subsidy business, as I mentioned before. This year the thrust continues, and our target is to achieve around 20% to non-subsidy. So that's where we are, Aditya.
Okay. Sir, to follow up with that, the pricing changes that the Telangana government made, mm-hmm, let's say the other governments don't make any kind of price changes, then if we were to sell the micro-irrigation products to the farmers at these prices without the increase, do we sell it at a loss or a very minor profit?
So as you can see from the last quarter's financial, there in front of you, with the old prices, this is what the performance was. So at a top line of, as you can see, the top line of 66 crores, we almost broke even with the current cost and pricing structure. So as the, if the cost gets favorable, pricing gets favorable, then obviously things are positive for us. If cost does not get favorable and price gets marginally favorable, then a little better scenario emerges. And let's say if cost gets adverse and price does not change, then we have a still worst case scenario coming. So these options are there, and we have to see how the market unfolds. So I've explained before what could be the upside and what could be the challenges.
Challenge. Sir, but from 2011 to 2015, just going a bit back, if I look, your raw material cost had been for the 4 years when Mahindra acquired EPC, between 60% and 65%. And even after that, the operating margin was positive between 5% and 9%. I believe the change in the business model by paying higher sales commission is creating a bigger drag on the net profits. Because today with 63% raw material cost, our operating margin is negative 3% versus a positive 5-9% in 2011 to 14 or 15. Now, sir, why is this change done, and can we, change it again to, have these cost and cost savings and efficiencies that, we talk about?
I think Aditya, the material cost which you're saying in that period was not so high. We can look at the data, let me check again. But as per memory goes, it was not so high because this is experiencing this high cost in the last 2 years, and we had 1 year in 17 or 18 when the cost was higher. So that is one. Now, second point which I want to highlight is in the early days, our material cost was higher than 16, 17, 18. The reason was we were having much higher dependence on sprinkler business. In those days, we used to have almost 75 to 80% business of sprinklers, which has lower margins and higher material cost, and 25% we used to have on drip business. So over the years we have moved away from sprinklers and more into drip, and as a result our margins have increased significantly. Another point we need to talk about is the in the early years, 11, 12, 13, 14, the pricing was on largely the markets which were active were Maharashtra, Andhra those days, and the commission system was, payment system was different. We used to have less commissions for Maharashtra because of the nature of the model. When Tamil Nadu came in, our commissions started increasing more. So as a result, our commissions went up, but overall our margins remained the same. So overall the trend is much better in terms of margins. But I don't mind, you know, I'll ask our team to connect with you later on and exactly share the discussion on 11 to 15 data. Or I just ask my team to give the data. If I get the data, I can, you know, come back to you on this point.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajan Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon. I am good, Rajan bhai. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Sir, first of all, thank you for the opening remarks. They were very informative. I had certain questions. One was this last quarter, 66 crore of top line which we did, does it include any price hikes or all the price hikes have happened post 31st March 2022?
Okay. Next question.
Next question was, sir, in your opening remarks, you mentioned that in 2021, we saw a degrowth of 20%. And 21-22, we saw a degrowth of 25%. That means there was a net drop of 40% in the industry in these 2 years.
Right.
Are we still looking at this 12% growth, sir? If there's a 40% drop, if we want to go back to that, regain these 2 years of losses in the current year, and assuming that industry goes back to 1920 levels, we are, aren't we looking at a higher growth? Because 5 to 12% seems to be very, very low, sir.
Okay.
And I would also like to know about, you mentioned in your opening remarks that Telangana has given 20% rise in prices.
Yeah.
Assuming that other states give 15% rise and net-net it is 15% across the country, and if the industry were to grow, go back to 1920 levels, are we looking at a revenue of beyond 300 crores for the current year? That was my question. And a little bit on the top greenhouse gap, top greenhouse turnover expected, you know, because you said we had some good orders for the current year.
Yeah.
And sir, any new states we have entered? And one more question. The last 2 years was very stressful for many companies. So is the industry seeing reduced players in this right now at this point of time because of the stress? For the last 2 years, many of the smaller players may have got wiped out. So is it the scenario such that smaller players are, you know, facing stress and maybe winding up their businesses or something like that? So if you can give some idea on that.
Sure. Rajan, thank you very much for asking the pertinent questions. So starting with the first question. Now, in the 66 crores, actually, there's one price increase which has happened by Gujarat state government, which happened early on, I think September, October they announced this, which was around 5 to 6%. There is one increase which happened. The Telangana has happened just after that, in this year. So, answer is only Gujarat, and Gujarat has done the price increase 5 to 6%. The second point which you said is true, that the industry has gone down to almost 40% in the last 2 years. And it's a matter of concern for the country, and it's a matter of very major issue which the PMO, state governments are thinking and need to think hard. We met the Secretary for Agriculture, the new Secretary who has come in. He was very concerned about this, and he did express that there has been a lot of internal concern on the matter, and the government is absolutely not happy with this, central government for sure, because it is not in line with the declaration which they had given across last 4 or 5 years. Budgets and other communication. So clearly there is a need for the industry to grow back fast. But why we are taking this view, Rajan bhai, is that we want to, you know, be more cautious and conservative in our approach, because we have seen in the past that while we expect things sometimes don't fall in place for various reasons, and in state government working, sometimes it's internal bureaucracy, sometimes elections, sometimes the new factors. So we would rather prepare ourselves in terms of the cost structure and expectation management with this kind of numbers. If the industry is looking better, obviously we are geared up because we have capacity, we have presence in all the markets, and we can easily ramp up our presence. We have plants in Coimbatore, in Baroda, in Nasik, and we have a very good supply chain available. So for us to achieve stocks of supplies of 300 crores, all that is not a problem. So let's see how it goes. As of now, this is what we think is a more conservative and more reasonable view. But we'll see. And as quarter one goes, I think things will start emerging. I would love that industry grows and it reaches the F20 levels and we achieve record business. Obviously, we'll be happy if that happens. But we'll have to wait and watch, sir. Now coming to your next point about 15% standard price increase. Now, if that happens and the governments are, having the proper funds and working well, then clearly it will be a turnaround and we'll be having going back to the good times of 17, 18, 19, where the industry was doing well. But we'll have to wait and watch. And currently, after last year, we want 1-2 quarters to see something on the ground before we really start, hoping. So we are still not seeing those signs, to be honest. Once we have, let's say in this May or June, if 2 or 3 governments follow price increase like the way Telangana has done, then obviously we'll be in a better position to communicate and plan for it. But one thing I can assure all of you, that in terms of our readiness to grow faster than the industry, even if the industry is very fast, we are prepared because we have all the wherewithal. We have a very strong brand, strong manufacturing capability, supply chain capability, efficient working capital management. So all those systems and processes are in place. So that's the positive for our company. Coming to top greenhouse. Now, top greenhouse is now slowly coming of age. But again, it's a small business. I don't want to, give an impression that that's going to go exponentially and really impact a big percentage of the total revenue. Today, it contributes to hardly 4-5% of 5-6% of EPC's revenue. But yes, the growth rate is going to be much higher and we want to grow that business much faster. And the traction which we are getting from some segments is quite interesting. And we hope to grow that business by 25-30% in this year for sure. And then let's see if we get good response, will be even higher than that. Now, regarding this competition of last 2 years, yes, your point is absolutely valid. We have seen that a lot of, smaller regional players have kind of withdrawn or just slowed down, reduced their whole capacity, manpower. A lot of these companies have reduced their costs. And many companies which were small to medium size actually have had a lot of, financial issues in terms of not getting payments from markets like Andhra. Where they were very aggressive at some point of time and did not have proper rules for working capital, they have really faced the pressure. So to that extent, it is encouraging for players, larger players like us and 3-4 other companies who are well managed and capable of exploiting. But having said that, I must also hasten to add that in this industry, if the industry goes up in the next 1 year or 2 years, then the entry barriers are not much. So it's very easy for these players to come back again because they're all opportunistic. And they could again come back to, come back fast. So it's not going to be sustainable for long. New players can always keep coming in. Rajam, I hope that answers your question. I think
we're running a bit. Yeah, but I have one question. You said Gujarat has done 5-6% hike. So we can expect one more hike of another 10% or something like that, right? I mean,
we have made a pitch. Yes, we have made a pitch and the Gujarat government has, GGRC has, been very open. They said, yes, we understand and they are working on it. And I think the state governments, the bureaucrats, machinery, they understand because data is in front of them. They can make out the cost increase. They know everything. So that way they are quite positive and let's see step by step how they react. But they have been open for sure. And industry has done a very active job. Our association has been really working very hard to explain to all the stakeholders.
Fine. Thank you and all.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vijay Kumar, an individual shareholder. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, Vijay.
Hi. It's been a good performance in spite of a lot of macro issues that are plaguing us. I think most of the questions are covered by my colleagues or friends. I have one or two more. One is knowing this business more of a government subsidy led, 80-90%. Are we looking at adjuvancies in agri, be it precision agriculture or any other space like we have got into green top or any other thing that we are looking at to grow faster than, because there will always be challenges in micro irrigation. It looks very lucrative, but I know it's a very tough business to be in. So is there any opportunity as a group? Because I've heard that the CEO of Mahindra Group talking about precision agriculture as a priority for the group. So will Mahindra EPC play a big role in that?
Okay.
That's my question. Yeah.
Anything else, Vijay?
And some time back, the group was also talking about consolidation within Mahindra Agri pockets. So anything in the near horizon or any, I know it's a board level at the MNM entity level, but anything that, is possible in the next medium term to longer term at least.
Okay. So Vijay, coming to the first question, you're right. We need to have lesser dependence on state governments, and that is the path we have started. And as I mentioned, that from 1% we are at 15, and we want to further progress it. That's with the current realm of products, which is I discussed in the past. Second thing which we are now working on is the greenhouse project. We expect the greenhouse project to, come of age in the next few years and start adding to the significant contribution of the company. So these two are already there in the realm, and you are aware of it. Now we are also studying some other areas where we can leverage our, even in the last call, there was a suggestion by one of the members on looking at manufacturing PVC and such other areas. So this we are evaluating and studying. There is no finalization now, but we are looking at that space and that could. So like that, we are looking at some space which are beyond, but we are also mindful that we would like to be our strategic core. We don't want to dilute, and we would like to keep the focus on the farmer and not get into too much of unrelated diversification. So that would be one of the criteria I would keep in mind. And coming to the question about precision farming. So precision agriculture, micro irrigation is precision agriculture, which is one of our important precision farming methods. And there are other precision farming methods which are being thought about, but they are not in Mahindra EPC. They are in the M&M space of tractor business. So they are being incubated and thought through. But clearly, we have synergies and we work together. So wherever precision irrigation required, EPC would come into that system and they would contribute there. As far as, your next point about consolidation and some future things, frankly, we cannot comment. There is nothing available to discuss now. But as and when there is something, surely we will, obviously keep you updated. So currently, there is nothing to update on that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vijay. And can you have the last question? Because it's almost close to 5. So let's take the last question, if any.
Sure, sir. The last question is in the line of Aditya Shah from Vikram Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
Sir, as a follow-up, I wanted to ask that, what is the sales data from Samriddhi centers owned by Mahindra, and what is the percentage of sales which are direct sales, so-called, you may say? Another one, the person before me asked was the consolidation within the group. So I believe from what the public data I have is, there are Mahindra Agri, Mahindra Summit, and all of those companies together probably have around 500, 600 crores of turnover. So together, do Mahindra at a group level plan to, sort of have a larger entity like, which can have 1,000 crores of turnover, and which is why we can have better cash flows and all of that?
Yeah, so Aditya, let me just first confirm that point which you talked about material costs. My team has just responded.
Yeah.
So what you have said, observation is right, and the answer which I give you also was right in terms of the commissions and in terms of the mix. And also, as we also you like to remember that F11-12, when Mahindra acquired the company, we also had to make some investments in people and organization, IT, and other things. So that was the kind of journey we had then. So that, but your data is correct, so that's fine. Now coming to the question on synergy with Samriddhi. So roughly we do around 8 to 10% business through Samriddhi centers, and that happens through them, and it is done at arm's length. And we use the tractor dealers, their reach and their presence. So not only for the 8 to 10% business, but also we have a lot of joint efforts in the field in terms of promoting through joint farmer meetings, etc. So that the farmer sees Mahindra as one, and that's a unique strength which we have. So that definitely is one of our important image and brand building avenues also in addition to sales. And coming to your question on consolidation, yes, what you said, Summit, Agri, all that is there. I think these are options which are always there for the management to review and consider. But as I said before to Vijay, currently there is nothing on the cards which I have to update you on. But these are options, and like that, there are many other options that are there. So
when
the time comes, obviously we will keep you all updated.
Sure, sir. Thank you, sir.
Good. Thanks a lot. So with this, can we end the call, ma'am?
Sure, sir. Would you like to add any closing remarks?
Well, I would just like to thank each one of the participants for the wonderful support and the interest in Mahindra EPC, and for the very valuable questions. And I hope they were satisfied with the answers. And I look forward to connecting again in our next call after H1 results. And let's see how the industry goes. If the industry goes well, I'm sure we'll have some good news to talk to you all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Mahindra EPC Irrigation Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.